Hello and welcome to Tuesday Talk with T. West Lou. This is Louis Patrone bringing you some great Black Talk Radio tonight. This has been another exciting week in the life of our country, in the life of the world. Many strange things occurring, many crazy things occurring, many stupid things occurring. If you wish to call in, by the way, and join me in any of this conversation, the number is on the screen in front of you, 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. Call me. I am happy to hear from you. If I don't, I enjoy talking without your assistance, though I would enjoy your participation. I'm going to talk about money tonight. I'm going to talk about people and situations that are ripping off the American people, ripping off the American people at a time when we're still in a recession, when we're still reeling from the disaster of 2008 that the banks caused with all the mortgages that should not have been granted and then were screwed up. I'm going to start with Karzai. You've heard his name. He is the president or prime minister, whatever way you want to label him, of Afghanistan. He's been that for about 10 years. We here in the United States put him in that position. We gave him that job of power. Why, I don't know, because he's been nothing but a pain in the butt ever since he's been there. He is supposedly our friend. Yet here's a man that told us 3 or 4 weeks ago that the United States should get out of certain parts of Afghanistan. By the way, we knocked Al-Qaeda and or the Taliban out of there that was bothering these people. That we should get out because we killed some of his people. Never been proven this happened. Some people were killed. Who knows who or why. He wants us out of the country all the time. He's the only leader of another country that visits the United States frequently. Anytime he has an issue with the United States, he hops on his plane, he goes to Washington, and he has a private sit-down with President Obama, and before Obama, President Bush. We suck up to him. Must be Afghanistan's important to us. We suck up to him. The funny thing is that there's an election in Afghanistan. Finally, democracy, as they call it. It's coming next year, the year after, to Afghanistan, and there'll be a presidential election. The bookmakers say, the people say, those in the know say, he's going to lose. Karzai's going to lose and lose bad. Now, let me tell you how we've kept him as our friend. It has been announced in the last 24 hours, better stated, it has been revealed in the last 24 hours that once a month, a CIA representative brings a bag, not a satchel, not a trunk, not a suitcase, not a certified check, not a wire transfer. A CIA representative once a month brings to Karzai a bag full of money. You heard what I said, a bag full of money. Each and every month, obviously we're buying this man's favor and assistance, even though he talks poorly of us most of the time. We've been buying him every month for 10 years with a bag of money. Now, we're not supposed to know this, of course. It's just come out. It's estimated that the amount of money involved has to be in the tens of millions of dollars. This money being spent this way at a time when we're hurting in this country, we're hearing all this stuff about this big deficit that has to be brought under control and so forth. Now, there's an interesting thing about the CIA involved in this. And I've spoken about this on my television show 2 or 3 times over the last couple of years. The CIA does not have to account to anyone as to how they spend their money. It's our taxpayer money. Whatever they get to run their business. No one knows how much the CIA gets, and no one is entitled to know by law how they spend their money. And so out of this money, they can take a Karzai and give them a bag of money every month. And how many other dictators, totalitarian people, quote-unquote democratic leaders are receiving bags of money. How many other people in the world are we bribing? And we do this. Everyone knows this. This is the way business is done today. We bribe people to be our friends, because if we don't, Iran will. And if Iran doesn't, Russia will. And if Russia won't, China will. So it's a game where everyone's spending money out there. Not right, but it's being done. But we can't know how much money the CIA is spending. And I don't know, there's something wrong with that, I think, especially when everyone's hurting in this country. People are getting defecated on. People are losing their homes. The price of gasoline went up and never came down. The price of groceries go up every week. I can't believe how expensive it's getting to buy groceries. How families survive in this economy, I do not know. So Karzai is one of the ripoffs. Tens of millions of dollars, a bag of money every month. You and I should be so lucky to receive a bag of money from any sorts once a month. It would be very welcome. Another ripoff. This one you're not going to believe either. Retired Congress people. People who have served in Congress for a period of time and are now retired. They're still, I'm going to put it in a very harsh way, sucking off the public tit, because that's what they did while they were in. That's what they're doing now. You tell me what our congresspeople and our senators are doing for $174,000 a year. All right, they couldn't even stand up for a little bit of a gun restriction law. They don't do anything right. They don't listen to the people in this country. They're there for themselves and their own pockets. They enrich themselves by enriching the coffers of their campaign war chests. They get these great vacations to Hawaii and I don't know where else. They bring their wives. They play golf. They drink. They dance. All for nothing. Paid vacations. While people are suffering in this country and things are tough. Children aren't going to college. Parents aren't able to send many children to college because they don't have the wherewithal to help them. So now we have seven retired congresspersons, and Congress takes care of their own even after they are out of office. A committee of seven has been formed. Chairing this committee is a woman by the name of, what's her name now? Carolyn Cheeks. Carolyn Cheeks. She was a congresswoman for 14 years from Detroit. All right, and she went out of office sometime around 2011, I think it was, or something like that. It's immaterial when she had. She's out of office, and she had 14 years in office. Now she's out of office. And there are six other people like her who are out of office. And the Congress of the United States, in its divine wisdom, some committee, I don't know what committee, but someone in their divine wisdom decided that a special committee of former congresspeople should be formed to study a problem, that is perplexing the United States and to which this country must have an answer. The people want to know. Do you know what the subject of this committee is? And they're holding hearings for 1 week, Monday through Friday, in Washington, D.C. The purpose of the committee is to determine what contacts, what communications, what contacts we have had with extraterrestrial beings. In other words, who from outer space has contacted us and we don't know about it? Who's hiding that someone came from another planet, visited the United States, someone knows and no one ever told? This committee's job is to find this out. Now, I don't know. I don't think it's important at all. I think it's a stupid thing, and I think it's being done so that the pocketbooks of these seven retired congresspeople, who have pensions, by the way, and retirement and medical plans, so they can benefit some more. Because each of these congresspeople, for 5 days of hearing, and then I assume they have to write a report, are receiving $20,000 each. That's $140,000. Plus expenses. You're going to have a week of hotel rooms in Washington. You're going to have meals. You're going to have staff. This thing's going to run $300,000 or $400,000 before they're done. And if it goes beyond that, I will not be surprised. Why? Because the Congress of the United States wants to know what contacts have been made with our country from people in outer space. Have you ever heard of anything so foolish, so stupid? It's Congress putting their hands in the pockets of the American taxpayers again and spending money foolishly. Now, $140,000 isn't a lot of money, plus expenses. It comes to $300,000 or $400,000. We're trillions of dollars in debt. That's minuscule. But big trees from little acorns grow. And so this is a waste of money. I know you agree with me. What else can I tell you about this thing? Oh, they're going to meet at the National Press Club, so I assume that their quarters for these meetings are going to be have to be rented. People have to be subpoenaed, or people are voluntarily going to come. There are people who want to testify. I'm wondering how many kooks are going to sit in front of them, crazy people, and say, there I was in my bed one night, and this light came in my window, and all of a sudden this thing with two heads appeared before me. Nice guy, though. We talked. It didn't look human, but we were able to communicate with each other. I can't believe they're doing this. This is, you know, what they're going to talk about is the subject of movies. That's what movies are made from. I told you the chairperson was Carolyn Cheeks, 14 years in Congress. I'm going to say something I'm ashamed to say, but I got to say it. I want to show how all this ties in. Her son was mayor of Detroit. Her son was mayor of Detroit, and his name is Quain Kilpatrick. By the way, it's Carolyn Cheeks Kilpatrick. Make a long story short, her son, Mayor Quain Kilpatrick, is no longer mayor. He was convicted on two dozen counts, 24 counts of corruption. He is awaiting sentence. Not nice to say, but I don't know. It all seems to tie in together. Somebody's got their hand in the wrong place all the time. Now, let's go to Con Edison, Consolidated Edison. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the name Con Edison. Con Edison is a public utility. They do the electric for us, the electric power in the greater New York City area. Utilities got it made because they get different breaks tax-wise and in every other way because they are providing a necessity to the people. Con Edison provides the power, the electricity in the greater New York area. They also have shareholders, okay? Because it's a private company, though it's a public utility, it's a private company, and they get all kinds of benefits, these people. Well, Con Edison had a bad year in 2012. They had Hurricane Sandy. I don't have to tell you all the damage Hurricane Sandy did in the New York City area and into Westchester County and into the island. All of these places, or some of these places, Con Edison was responsible for providing the power. It was thought by Governor Cuomo of New York, and it was thought by many others in New York, especially in the New York City area, that Con Edison failed to do their job following Hurricane Sandy. It took 10 days in some places to get power restored. Maybe it was too big of a hurricane. I don't know. It was a terrible hurricane. But they did not distinguish themselves from what I understand. Plus, the power kept going out when it was so hot in the summer, and people couldn't run air conditioning, and they didn't have their lights on. And then they've had other storms that screwed up the power situation. They didn't have lights and electricity and air conditioning again. Some people can't cook. The food in the refrigerator spoils. Was not a good year. The other thing that happened last year was they had a negotiation with their employees. You know, they were negotiating. They wanted the union people wanted a raise and some other benefits. Management said, no way, Jose. So what did the management, the president, the chairman of board, the board of directors, and the hierarchy of Con Edison do? They locked out 8,000 employees. You hear what I'm saying? It wasn't that the employees walked out on strike. It was a reverse situation. Whenever you ever heard that happening, it was back in the 20s and 30s it used to happen, not now. They locked out 8,000 employees and said, until we resolve these problems, nobody can come to work, nobody gets paid. Nice guys, huh? Now, I'm talking about money here, and I haven't even got to money yet on this thing. Here's the story. The president of the company is Kenneth Burke. He is president and chairman of the board. The board awarded some bonuses recently for services rendered last year in the year 2012 when we had Sandy, we had the heat power shutdowns, we had other storms, and we had the lockout of 8,000 employees, which is un-American and undemocratic, and they got away with it, all right? And they award bonuses. Now, every executive in Con Edison gets a good salary, and they have a normal yearly bonus if they meet certain objects or standards. But on top of it, because the board thought they did such a good job last year with Hurricane Sandy, with locking out the 8,000 employees and everything else, they awarded an additional $600,000 in bonuses on top of the salaries and the normal bonuses. The president, Kenneth Burke, got $350,000 bonus on top of everything else. Do you know what he got paid last year? $7.4 million. $7.4 million when many people can't afford to pay their power bill in New York City because they're not working or they're not working enough. Things are tough. He got $7.4 million. Now, the board of Con Edison, some of the guys or some of the people have been sitting on that board for 20 and 30 years. They get paid for being on that board. I don't know how much. It's at least $100,000, might be as much as $300,000 a year, might be more. Boards on big companies, the board members get paid good money. It's a good, you know, and you belong to several boards if you're a big shot, and you, this is cumulative, and you end up making $2 or $3 million. Okay, so the governor, Cuomo, he's appointed a committee to study Con Edison following Hurricane Sandy because he thought there was a failure of their performance. And this committee studying whether this public utility failed in doing its job. Let me point this out to you, too. It's against the law to use rate payers' monies to pay a bonus. What do I mean? We are ratepayers, you and I, if we live in the greater New York City area. And when we pay our electric bill every month to Con Edison, that money can't be used. Can't be used to pay bonuses. This is a public holding company. They have shareholders. They have trading stock. If their money doesn't come from the people who pay their bills, the ratepayers, I don't know where it comes from, but it's against the law to pay the bonuses from the monies paid in by people who are paying for power and service. So it's got to come out of the shareholder end. How it does, I don't know. I don't understand. I couldn't figure it out. But it can come out of the shareholder end, and apparently it is. Wherever it comes from, it shouldn't be coming from, because if they didn't have to pay all this extra money out, the rates would be lower. I can't believe they would not, even though they don't come out of ratepayers' money, because indirectly they have to. I'm sure you get the point. Now, on top of all this, what do you think Con Edison wants to do now? They have made application to the New York State Power Authority for permission to increase their rates, the cost of power, to their subscribers, the people of the greater New York City area, by $400 million this year. While the president got $7.4 million, that's an awful lot of money. They want an additional $400 million rate increase because they need it. They need it to get the job done. They're stealing, in effect. I mean, I can't believe this is all proper. I don't know how people get away with this. We have corporate America paying big bonuses. Bankers are getting this kind of money. Bankers are getting $20, $30, $40 million a year bonuses now. They're making money. The people aren't. I don't know. So those are the three ripoffs I see out there. Now, moving on, I want to talk about Social Security. I want to talk about the national debt in Social Security. And why? Because I don't think we ever get the the correct information. I think we are bounced back and forth, and no one tells us the truth. I can tell you why it's very complicated, what I'm about to get into. I hope I make it clear. It seems clear to me now. I made a little study on this thing. I've always known that Social Security, we pay into it over the course of our working lifetime. I paid much more into it than I'm ever going to get out of it. I didn't go on to Social Security until I was 71. I paid the maximum in every year from 61 to, 6 years ago would be 2007. From 2006. From 1961 to 2006, I made the maximum contribution every year. They can't. There's no way in the balance of my lifetime I'm going to get anywhere near what I paid in back, nor are most people. But that's the way it's supposed to be. The rich help the poor, and I was lucky to make a few bucks when I was working as an attorney. All right. Most people are unaware that there was more money in Social Security 20 years ago than there is now, 30 years ago. What happened is, I believe it was President Johnson. The country needed money. Where was he going to get it? He came up with this brilliant idea. Look at the trillions of dollars sitting in the Social Security Fund. So he had a law passed that the United States can dip in. They can borrow money from the Social Security Fund, pay it back when they want. They got to pay interest on it, of course. They have paid diddly dip back, okay? Now let me put it all in perspective for you. Your national debt is $17 trillion. A lot of them, I can't even conceive of what that is in money. $17 trillion. You know who the biggest creditor is of the United States? Do you know who the United States owes the most money to based on that $17 trillion? You got it. The Social Security Fund. They owe $2.7 trillion back to Social Security, close to $3 trillion. They owe to Social Security. You and I, Social Security payers, are the biggest creditor, the largest creditor of the United States. The United States is a debtor to us to the tune of almost $3 trillion. We are numero uno as to size, as to who is owed money out of the $17 trillion. Now we hear China all the time, how we always borrow money from China. China isn't owed anywhere near what the government owes us for the money they took out of Social Security and never paid back. I think the Chinese here is $1.2 trillion we owe the Chinese. We owe the Chinese roughly a third of what the government owes us. Isn't that amazing? And do you want to know something? China does not mind loaning us money. They love loaning us money because even though we're in bad shape, the rest of the world is in worse shape. We have the best economy going in the country. The Chinese consider investing in our bonds and loaning us money as a good investment, a safe investment. But we're not told this. We're led to believe it is the other way. What else can I tell you about this Social Security thing? Okay. Now, it is being said, it has been said, that Social Security, they tell us it's hurting, it's on the verge of collapse, it's just destroying the American government. Well, they take our money. They're taking your money and my money when they take it out of the fund and they don't pay it back. They owe us almost $3 trillion. Now, you take some. Experts have recently said the Social Security Fund is not in trouble. It will take care of itself to the year 2033. You hear me? It's a long time off. 2033. People can draw whatever they're supposed to get with no problem till 2033. If Congress does nothing and changes nothing. After 2033, if nothing's done, Social Security still has enough money to pay 75% of the benefit instead of 100% of the benefit. So we're getting this BS and this malarkey that, oh, Social Security is going to collapse. It's increasing the debt. Well, it's increasing the debt because they're taking our money. They're borrowing our money. They never pay it back. What has happened? The Social Security trust fund runs into cash flow problems. Last year it was $47 million. They had to borrow from the United States government to meet their obligations. It's up and down. Their cash flow isn't steady, but it's there. And the government of the United States loans them that money. They don't say, we'll give you the $47 million as a payback. They say, no, we're going to loan it to you, because on the balance sheet of the United States government, they don't want that $17 trillion to go to $18 trillion, and they look at that for accounting purposes as money due and owing. So what am I saying? We're getting screwed. And now this is what bothers me, and this is why I talk about this. They want to cut our Social Security benefits to help resolve the debt crisis. They want to take our money. They want us to get less benefits. It isn't that much we get now, but people need it who are over 65. Most people in this country need that check. If it weren't for that check, they would be homeless. As it is, they're stretched to pay their drug bills, their food bills, and their rent bills on the checks they are getting, because not everyone gets the same amount. And they make it look like Social Security is busting the system. It's not. It's the government, who was a pig 30 years ago, started taking our money and doesn't pay it back. And so it shows on the balance sheet, though. Now, if you take $3 trillion that they owe us from the $17 trillion, now the debt is $14 trillion. And all the president and Congress say they want to get done for the next 10 years is take $4 trillion off of it. Pay us back the money. Very simple. Go borrow more from China. I don't care how the hell you do it. Pay us back the money. What else can I tell you about this? What else can I tell you? That's it. We're getting a screw job. Loud and clear, we are getting a screw job. Okay. Want to talk very quickly, because time's running, on the Bangladesh building collapse 2 weeks ago. A factory went down, the upper floors. It's the sweatshops of the 1920s and the 1930s in this country. Many young women go. They're over the sewing machines. They're making clothes to be sold in American stores like Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Benetton, Walmart, Gap. And the building sucked. The walls were cracked. The pillars were cracked. The building collapsed. Over 300 people were killed. We should be ashamed, our countries, that we invest that way in the other countries. And it's wrong. I'm going to tell you what's wrong here. It's wrong that those jobs are over there. They should have stayed in the United States. Bring those jobs to make the shorts, the T-shirts, and whatever other clothing back to the United States. Create work for our people. And so if I'm Walmart's and I'm selling something for $2.99, I got to sell it for $3.25. Add another 25 cents on. Everyone comes out ahead. This is wrong what they're doing over there. We should be ashamed that we permit these companies to do it. There isn't much we can do, but somehow Congress should force these people, tax them high for whatever they make over there or something, or what they spend. Bring those jobs back here. Let's not be a party to the shame that just went on and to the continuation of the sweatshops, which were outlawed in this country 60, 70 years ago. Oh, we're coming to the end of this show. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing it. This show is archived. You can listen to this show 24 hours a day, almost immediately. Once I hang up, it's archived, I think. Anytime you want, and you can listen to any of the old shows anytime you want. I know this. More people are listening to this archive show that listen in live, significantly more. It's absolutely amazing how many people are listening to the show that's only 3 months old. I'm happy you join me. I'm happy you listen. I don't know if I'm always correct. I look into this stuff, and where we're getting it shoved to us, I try to show you. And I hope you found tonight interesting. Please come back next Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. I'd like to talk with you again. That's it for tonight, folks. Good night.